But anyway, just amazing. That worship team, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was absolutely wonderful worship this morning. So we're just really excited to be here and to greet you and see what God is doing. And we've just been traveling into Colombia and Honduras and just had a marvelous time. And we'd really like you to pray for Honduras because it is, let me go back to Colombia. Colombia was a very, very, very scary place to be. How long ago were we there? 10 years ago? Anyway, 7 years ago. Time goes so you can't remember where you've been or what has happened. But, you know, we were at a conference and speaking. So anyway, John and I decided from the hotel to go for a walk this morning. And so we were out the hotel, down the block, down the other side. And all of a sudden, this van screeched up, pulled up onto the grass. Three men jumped out, and we're going, ah! You know, like, what is happening? And apparently, they were our bodyguards, and we had escaped from, we didn't know we had them, but anyway, we had escaped from them out the door. And they all of a sudden realized they had lost us. And they said, oh, you can't go for a walk by yourselves. It's far too dangerous. And the one security guard even had a gun, which was like, whoa, okay. Anyway, so Lared, are you all familiar with Lared? Well, Lared has gone in to the prisons, to the military, every part of the military, and now they're taking it into the school system, and it is now safe to walk on the streets. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the transformation. So, you know, don't give up on the Lared teaching, taking it in, getting a small group. You'll just never know. And so we went to Medellin and did a leader's school, which was very, very cool. And the pastors, I mean, I've never been to a church where the pastors were in every single meeting, coming up to the front, dealing with issues. I mean, and they have a church of 8,000 people. So, I mean, you know, this was pretty significant. They wrote all the stuff down. When we went home, they had each one of their leaders take one of the sessions and absolutely learn it and get it down, and then they taught it all to their church. So that was a really cool time. And then from there, we went to Honduras to meet a man called Jimmy Hughes. Now, Jimmy Hughes is one amazing guy. He is, some of you will remember David Hogan. How many of you here remember David Hogan? Well, David Hogan is a rough and ready guy from Mexico, I'm telling you, rough and ready. Well, Jimmy's quite like that. And went to Honduras 16 years ago with he and his wife. She's pregnant, $20 in their pocket, and began to serve the poor. Just served and served and served and served and served and served. And gradually the Lord just started to bless him. And he's really, you know, has a lot of initiative and ingenuity. And now he has a home for girls and a home for boys. And it's not called an orphanage. It's called their home. And you should see them. Oh, my gosh. They are so clean. They are so beautiful. Well decorated. Just gorgeous. And these children that they take are sent to them from the government. The government will phone them and say, will you take this child? And let me tell you two stories of these children that they take. The first one, we met this boy, he's now 12. When he was 6, he and his sister, who was 3, were made to watch their mother being slashed to death with a knife and knives. And then they turned on the bay on the 3-year-old, slashed her across the forehead. The little boy jumped on her to protect her, and he received 26 stab and slash wounds. So they get into the hospital, the government phones, Jessica, Jimmy, will you take these children? And they took them. Oh my gosh, this little boy gave us his testimony with the shining eyes of the love of Jesus in those eyes. I mean, I just looked at him and I thought, you could be so bitter and so angry and so, you know, you owe me, God, kind of thing. But he was just full of love, full of life, full of absolute exaltation of the Lord. And he and his sister now live in these homes. Another child that they were asked to take was a woman was in this village. The witch doctor came and said, if you will sacrifice your child by putting the child in water, oil, and some kind of spices and whatevers, it will change the economy and the it'll change our town. The sickness will leave, the poverty will leave, whatever. Anyway, this mother did this, put her 6-month child in this cauldron, and the neighbor saw it, ran over, and just kicked the cauldron over, but the child was just third-degree burns everywhere, no hair, just burnt, like terribly. Did survive. They phoned Jimmy and Jessica, will you take this child? But you will have to hold this child night and day. You can't lay it down. And they committed to hold this child on a, like they had help, you know, the night and day for 2 months. Jimmy, about 3 a.m, couldn't sleep, so he got up and he's worshiping the Lord in the living room, and he hears laughter, and he stops praying and he's saying, Lord, are you having the angels laughing? What's going on? And didn't hear any more laughter, so he went back to praying, and he heard laughter again, and more and more. And he thought, well, that's not the angels. And he thought, it's coming from the bedroom. And so he went down, because his daughter was looking after the child on that watch, and she had fallen asleep, and the baby was beside her, laughing, totally 100% healed, with hair on its head. Hallelujah. So they have an incredible mission to the poor. They have huge, massive cauldrons, stainless steel that are propane heated. There's 2 huge ones that'll feed 1,000 and 3 or 4 smaller ones that'll feed 500, and they go into the prisons because the prisons there, the food is terrible, and so they feed the prisoners. They go into villages and in the poor areas and feed the poor, and the military helps serve the food. Clever idea, right? Anyway, so when we got there, we were met at the airport by Jimmy dressed in a Honduran military outfit. And he just whisked us through, right through everything. And we're in his car and off we were. And we had a meeting. We actually missed a meeting the day before because our plane, our connection didn't show up. And so we had to stay in Costa Rica overnight. Anyway, so Jimmy, you know, whisks us off and took us to meet with one of the generals. Anyway, the meeting that we did miss was a meeting with all the generals, all the military generals. So he has got incredible favor with the poor, with you know, the now he's just getting incredible favor with the government and the military. He's now spiritual advisor to the president. And, the president's wife came. They just opened an ACE school for the kids, and she came to open it. And so they are having, Jimmy's having LARED roundtables every week with the generals, and his wife Jessica is having a roundtable with who's ever underneath it. Is it the colonels underneath the generals? Every week they are getting values and principles, God's way, into these people. And so they're a country you can, I mean, it's terrible. The drug cartels are running the prisons. We went and prayed with the prison. Did anybody read in the paper about that prison, the fire? Well, we went to that prison. Was it not that one? Oh, I thought it was that one. Sorry, got my things wrong. Anyway, I went to another one that was close to Jimmy's. Well, wasn't this one close to Jimmy's house? Oh, there's two close to Jimmy's house. We went to one close to Jimmy's house. Anyway, prayed with the warden in there, and he's almost crying. He said, "You don't know. I so needed this prayer." He said, "You just came at the right time." He said, "The two wardens before me have been murdered. The drug cartels and the mafia run the prison, and you know the four men that walked out in front of us just before we went in to see him, he had talked out of murdering somebody that day. He'd heard that." So I mean, it is just like, oh my gosh! I mean, he has guns in his car that are loaded with only the safety, the bullets in the barrel. I mean, this is serious, you know, country kind of thing. But the favor of God, you know, where there's darkness, you know, the light is really shining. And so he's poised, his team and him are poised to take that country for Jesus. I mean, they're infiltrating it, even though it looks like the mafia and the drug cartels and, you know, the gangs are running the country, but God is just going in there in the dark. So it has just been an amazing time and an amazing mission. So in your prayers, remember Jimmy and Jessica Hughes. They are incredible missionaries to Honduras. The other thing I wanted to share with you is I've been reading a book, and I think it's called Intimacy with Jesus. I forgot to look at the title, by Jean Guion. And I highly recommend it. I've had this book for I don't know how long. I think I'm on chapter 2. I can't get through because it's a meditative book. But right now I'm doing, chapter 2 is about the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, Madame Guion says that, you know, Jesus is within us. And so, you know, to quiet yourself down, just focus on your inward parts, just let everything else go, and just get quiet and wait for the presence of God to come. When the presence of God comes, then begin with the word, Father, and stay there. Father. Oh, Father, you are so good. Father, I exalt you. I want to know you more. Begin just with that. Even thinking, what does Father mean? And if it's a negative thing, Father, will you change it? And it just goes on like that. And then when you get to a part and you're peaceful with Father, then who art in heaven? And it's just incredible, the presence of God that comes and the amazing intimacy just going through the Lord's Prayer is phenomenal. So if you haven't got that book, it's just small. I guarantee you, unless, if you do what she says to do, it'll take a long time to get through this book. But it goes so well with, you know, the 10-minute timer, with the worship. How many are 10-minute timers here? Oh, come on. How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? All of you know. Come on, I challenge you. I challenge you to either get a timer, you know, or put an app on your iPhone. You can download them, they're free. But I challenge you to do it for a month and tell me then that it doesn't work. Because I guarantee you, your thought life will change. The presence of God you walk in will change. Benny Johnson just told me when we were in Virginia Beach that she said when she first heard that I was talking about a timer, she thought, what's Carol up to now, you know? But anyway, Lord kept prodding her, you know, go get a timer and try it. You know, the challenge kind of went out to her. So she did. And she's been struggling with adrenal overload. And so I think it was 2 months she was doing the timer, went back for a checkup, and her adrenals are totally fine. I tell you, it's just the most phenomenal thing. And I needed to look it up on my phone, but John Puddle apparently had written a 10-minute worship in the Revival magazine. One of his friends in Brazil saw it and knew this famous, and I don't remember what her name was, singer in Brazil, Christian singer, but she's really like a pop star. So she has on her Twitter, 300,000 plus on her Twitter even. And she got a hold of this and she said, yes, I am going to put this out. I am going to encourage all my people to worship the Lord every 10 minutes because my heart's desire is that around the world, we will have people worshiping every 10 minutes. I want 1 million around the world worshiping Him every 10 minutes. Can you imagine the atmosphere change? Because your attitude changes, your negativity gets zapped right in the middle of a negative thought. The buzzer will go off every time, I guarantee it. You get cut off in traffic and you're going, and the buzzer will go off. And you know, you can't praise Him and curse at the same time. So, you know, it's amazing. It's just awesome. So I'm am so thrilled that this gal caught the vision in Brazil. And so I'm just really cranked and pumped about it. So get with, and do it because it will really, really, really change your life. Ah, so bless you. I'm just full of it at the moment. So got lots of stories, but I better turn it over to John. Can pray. Oh, I want to pray for this girl right here. Lord, I bless this one. Lord, I just see a powerful anointing on you. Whoa. And Lord, I just bless the incredible anointing. And the Lord said, because you've been faithful in little, the Lord is going to increase and increase and increase and increase. Whoa. That anointing on your life. Wow, there's an anointing to bless. There's an anointing for provision. There's an anointing, Lord, for healing. Lord, I bless her. Wow, thank you, Lord. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I bless her. I bless her. Bless her, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ha, thank you, Jesus. Wow, and the Father says to you, He knows you're shy, but He blesses your heart. He thanks you from the bottom of his heart for leading us in worship, for getting up there when it's probably the last thing on earth that you want to do. And the Lord is really pleased with your heart. Wow. And Lord, I just ask that you would just fill her and give her more. Lord, she has a beautiful, lovely worship anointing. And Lord, I ask you to let that increase. Wow, I bless her and I thank you for her, Lord. I thank you for her heart. Ah, and I ask you to give her more. Lord, you know what's deep inside. And I ask you to come close and father her like she's never been fathered in her life, Lord. Thank you for her, Jesus. Amen. Bless you, honey. Thank you. Loves you. Didn't she bless you this morning? You blessed us too. Come on. Oh, are you all? Yeah, oh, okay. Are you all family? Oh, well. Lord, bless this family, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I worship you, worship you, worship you, worship you, worship you. Father, use this one, to just lead thousands into the presence of God. Lord, that in her worship, healing. Oh, Lord, as she sings, Lord, that healings would be manifest, Lord God, that she would just see incredible things happen as she worships the King. Wow, Lord, take her more and more and more and more. And Lord, I thank you for this family. Is there any more in this family? Woo! Oh, Jesus, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. Oh, you're so good. Ah. Wow, thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Father. More. Yeah, just take it in. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Ah. Woo, thank you, Lord. Over to you, my darling.
Oh, my goodness. How many of you would like Carol to pray for you before you leave today? Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, well, honey, there are many of them raising their hands. You can just, you know, go. You don't have to sit down. Oh, my goodness. Well, isn't this nice? It feels like spring's not that far away. You know, you get up and you see the sun, and we didn't get that snowstorm they were promising, so we're all like, yay. There's a lot to be thankful for, actually, isn't there? I know. And Carol's telling you where we've been, and yeah, the missions to those countries are really gripping us. And how many of you here have been with your pastors or some of the team on third world missions? You've been on an outreach. Wave at me. How many would like to go? You haven't gone yet, but you would like to go. See, you owe it to yourself to go, actually. Because it's one of the things that helps us get off of the self-centeredness and get a bit more of a rounded perspective about life and the way things really are. And so I just want to encourage you to get your passport and get ready and save up or whatever you have to do or believe God. And by the way, everybody who goes on one of those, no one ever has the money. Okay, so don't let that discourage you. But I don't have the money. Well, join the club. You know, none of us have the money. You just believe God. And for somehow or other, it comes in, usually at the last second. And then off you go. And you come back totally and wonderfully excited and thrilled because you discovered that God can use little old you. And that is a hard lesson for us to learn. I don't know why. Most people, it certainly was true with me, I didn't really think that I had a calling, certainly My mother never told me about the angel that appeared to her and said, you know, I was going to be born and going to be a pastor and all that kind of stuff. But it happened to Samson. It happened sort of with John the Baptist. Certainly happened with Jesus. But it never happened with me, at least not that my mother told me about. And most of us are like that, you see. You know, you don't feel, well, I haven't been that kind of a calling or set apart. What can I do, really? But I tell you what, there's a lot you can do. It just calls for you to rise up out of yourself and start to give away the richness of the deposit that's already been put into your hearts. How many here love Jesus? Let's see. Do you really? Wave at me if you love him. Wave excitedly if you really love him. Okay, so that's the good news right there. That's what the world needs to know. And when you start to share that with love and with power and with fire, I tell you what, miracles are going to happen. And do you know who's the easiest people to pray for? Well, maybe not to pray for them, but to see something happen. It's not the people in church. Generally, it's the people that you meet at work. How many here have ever prayed for someone at work? And what happened? It encouraged them and enlightened them. They felt lighter. Is that what you mean? Yeah. All right. What happened when you did it? Lives change. People accept the Lord. But do you remember the struggle you had, though, just before? You're like, should I or shouldn't I? Or what are they going to say? And what's the supervisor going to think? And all this kind of stuff goes on. And we're in that struggle about should we or shouldn't we? And let me answer that question for you once and for all. Yes, you should. Just go for it and trust in God. And miracles will happen. And then you will, you know, kind of get the focus off of your own struggles, and things come into a lot better perspective for us. Now, I want you to be encouraged this morning, okay? And I'm asking the Lord, what do these people need? What do they need to hear? And what he said was, they need to be encouraged. And by that I mean, you need to know that God has got you in the palm of your hand. And he has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And so that's good, isn't it? Do you know that all things will work together for those who love God? And that's you. Is that you? Come on. All right, so that's you. So what that does is it takes care of the problems and the difficulties of life. And yet somehow, if we get too focused on our lives, our families, our situation, our work, our this, our that, or the other, it just gets a little off somehow, a little pear-shaped. And one of the things that will help you with that is to get a focus on others who are less fortunate than yourself. And we came home from India and kissed the ground pretty much. And India is such a vast country, and it has a whole range of, you know, rich right down to poor. But when we saw the ministry that was going to the poor and just how poor the poor were, I tell you what, you think, oh my goodness. They've got to have a revival. There's nothing else that's going to change that country. I could tell you more stories from India, kind of like Carol shared about the dramatic turnaround that happened there. And it's good for me to get the focus off of my life, my marriage, my church, my ministry, my this, my that, and just begin to see what God is doing all over the world and begin to get the bigger picture and a picture of the need and realize that you can be a part of it. It's just amazing. It really is amazing. I I met a pastor who, he's a first-generation Christian saved out of Hinduism. And God gave him a unique burden for crazy people. I mean, crazy, you know, like just really crazy. Now here we you know, tend to medicate them so that, you know, they're sort of in a medical straitjacket. And you know, and they're out of harm's way, but there many times they're just on the loose. And they can be violent, and they can be this, and they can be that, and they can be other. And they had a picture of this guy sitting, leaning against the wall, completely in rags, and hair and beard and just straggly and filthy dirty, just sitting there kind of out of it. And they said, this guy is now one of our pastors. And I love it. They got three like that. And so what they do is they'll find these crazy people around in the village, and they start going and loving them and washing them, cut their fingernails, cut their toenails, cut their hair, trim their beards, and shower them and get new clothes on them and feed them and take care of them. Just start loving them and praying for them and casting their demons out and getting them all healed up. And this one guy came right through, so they invited him into their leadership training program, their discipleship program for their pastoral training. And then 1 year later, as he finished that, he went back to his original village and his gave his testimony about what Jesus had done for him. And this is a totally Hindu village. His first converts were his father first and then his mother. And they're saying, if that's what Jesus can do, I want to serve him. And all the shame of raising a crazy son and having insanity in their family and all of that just rolled right off. And Jesus came through. Isn't that amazing? And so we just fell in love, I guess, with the persecuted church. And it's because those pastors are very persecuted in India by the Hindu militants, you know. And so also the radical Islamic ones that we met, I don't know if some of you might have heard that story, but we, just before India, we were in Turkey doing a leader school for Turks and Iranians. And these Iranians, there was about 30 of them that we actually brought out of Iran to come to the school. It was all very secretive, and I don't know how they do it, but anyway, they came, and some of their stories were amazing. Do you know how they come to Jesus in Iran? Jesus appears to them and says, follow me, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that kind of stuff. And in one village of 500, half of them had the very same dream one night and said, Jesus is the way, follow me. That's the kind of stuff. So it's really true, where sin abounds and darkness, then grace and truth all the more abound. And God is moving all over the earth. So I want you to get excited about it, because I believe that we are in the last days and will be a part of a last days move of God. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
So, but wait a minute, I want to get married and I want to have children and I want to raise my family, and I don't know if I want Jesus to come right away, you know. Anybody? I mean, Carol and I used to think that. We've got our 33rd anniversary coming up. And I can remember thinking, oh, baby, I hope we can have at least 1 year together before he comes and everything else. And so, but we did. We had a lot of years together, a lot of good stuff. But I'm telling you, this is a time when we need to start to rise up, because I think the Lord is starting to say, church, Now is the time to bring in the harvest. And that harvest needs to come in with love, first of all, but also signs, miracles, and wonders. That not that, you know, internationally known leaders are going to do, but that you're going to do, and you're going to do, and you're going to do. Hold your hands out in front of you. Just look at them now for a moment. Aren't they wonderful, those hands of yours? They take care of you, wash you, drive your car, write your letters, type your emails. I mean, they just do all kinds of things, those wonderful hands of yours. But those hands are also the means of transferring the anointing from your heart and life into another person with a need. Those hands right there. And as you lay hands upon people, miracles will happen. And it's thrilling to me to see that. You know, I just never get used to it. I just don't ever want to get used to it. I think it's amazing that when we touch people, things happen in the name of Jesus. I mean, isn't that amazing? Think about it for a moment. When you touch somebody, God will flow out of you and into them somehow, and a miracle will happen. So I had a guy in, some of you may remember Stephanie and Scott Jones. They were in our school, and they were small group leaders, and they were, I don't know, they were there like 3 years maybe. And they and eventually went and planted a church in Charleston, South Carolina. And he's from Michigan originally, and she's from England originally. And they met at our school, and now they're in South Carolina, planted a church 3 years ago. And so they gathered a group of people, and we went down there after the conference in Virginia Beach. Had a great time with them. And there was a little girl there that was healed on the Monday night. She got a healing for something wrong with her shoulder. The Tuesday night, she comes back with her father. And her father, I would guess, is maybe 60 or pushing 60. And he injured himself lifting weights as a young man when he was 20, and he burst three of his discs, and he has been in agonizing pain ever since. They've had surgeries and this and that and the other, and he's on pain medication, and he's had everybody pray for him, and he's really just given up. He's just, I'm going to be on heavy painkillers all my life, and he can barely function. So when his daughter got healed, he agreed, somewhat reluctantly, to come to the meeting with her. And you know, right there in front of everybody, God healed this guy where he described his pain. He says, well, tonight it's about a 7 out of 10. It's normally higher than that, like a 9 or a 10, but it's a 7 tonight. And just that quickly, the pain left. And he's bending over, touching his toes and doing all kinds of things. His daughter's in floods of tears. And see, I never get tired of that, do you? I don't ever want to get tired of that. I love that kind of stuff. That's the kingdom that we're all a part of. That's the kingdom that's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Why don't you just reach over to your friend and, well, let's say, have some of this right now. Just come on, have a... have a good big drink of the anointing, my goodness. We want to get filled up here today so that we can go out back to work in the morning and maybe pray for somebody. Now I want you to know, Canada is not in revival. Not yet. It should be with all that's gone on. It should be. But you see, people are focused on, I just need to, you know, get ahead a little more first. I need to pay my house off first. I need to pay my... And there's all these kinds of things that have distracted us from going full on for the kingdom. How many would agree with that? I mean, I'm not being hard on you or anything. I'm including myself in this. We're a bit complacent in terms of... maybe the way it should be. I don't think complacency is going to win the day for us here. Somehow or other, we need to get on fire. We. Point to your friend and say, he means you. He means himself. He means everyone. Let's just get on fire with this thing, shall we? You know, in Matthew 28, Jesus said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, so go therefore. And do you know something? I found that in the going, that's where all the fun is. If you're like, wait, I've got to finish this, I've got to finish that, I've got to do the other first. You know, that then life can be a challenge and it can be a struggle. But when you go for the kingdom, all of a sudden you start having fun. And miracles start happening when you begin to release that anointing. And so I'm really believing God to see revival in this nation. And yet I have a feeling that the last shall be first and the first last, if you follow the third world nations. They are in revival right now. You know why the Christians were getting so persecuted in India is because they're scared to death of the success of them all. They're at the tipping point right now. They're absolutely winning the day everywhere. I mean, India is ablaze with Jesus on the very front end of it. And it's just really, really getting going. It's amazing. Africa, of course, has, for the most part, already been evangelized. It's well over 50% totally saved. When I went to Ghana with George, I was amazed that it was 65% of the nation are born-again Christians. And you could drive through Accra, and you see doves everywhere, crosses everywhere, Christian radios, stations playing Christian music out of all the shops. I mean, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Now, they have Muslims to the north a little bit, but few, relatively speaking. The nation, 65% Christian. And I don't mean just nominal Christians. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are excited about Jesus. And that kind of threw me when I was in that country. We got off an internal flight, and we came back to the main city, and we were being picked up by some of George Ampison's team. And one of the porters, you know, he kept hoping that we needed our stuff carried. And I said, no, the guys are just right there that are going to pick us up. But he stayed with us. And I said, well, what would you like? Is there anything you would want? He says, are you a pastor? I said, yes. He said, I'd like prayer. I said, what would you like prayer for? So he starts telling me his aches and pains and this and that. I start praying for him. The next thing I know, I had 15 other porters all around. And I'm like, what? Since when do porters line up for prayer? It was amazing to me. That was Ghana. Then we went to Kenya, which was, I don't know, last year, almost this time. It was March, I think, or April. And there, 85% of the nation have made a decision for Jesus Christ. And this is sweeping Africa. I mean, it is amazing. Then we could talk about Indonesia. Oh, my goodness. Indonesia. Sweeping the nation. When Carol and I first went, I don't know if you guys have heard this story, but we went into the ministry because of Indonesia. Some of you remember Yawin and his dad, Andrew. We went to see him, and they ruined us and wrecked us with their love. And we came home from that in tears on the airplane saying, we can't give our lives to business anymore. You know, we've got to go for it. And so we did. And we started in Carol's hometown and planted our little church like this, you know. And we started reaching out, reaching young people. But it was Indonesia. And at that time, they said Indonesia is 97% Muslim and 3% other religions. And that other included Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, and a few Christians. Well, when we got there, we're like, wow, this place is alive with Christians. There were meetings everywhere, all over the place. And we said, I think it's more than 3%, but anyway, they were talking about maybe 12% then. Do you know what it is now? I had a meal with Mel Tari from there recently, and I asked him, what is it, Mel? What percentage of Indonesia's Christians? He says, well, we like to keep it under the radar, but it's actually about 40%. But don't tell them. Let them think it's only 3-4%, you know. And it's just taking the whole nation. You guys have been to, I think, Brazil. Have you been to Brazil, John? Well, Latin America is ablaze. Carol just told you about Honduras, and we talked about Colombia. And these nations that were one time really, really in trouble, they are on fire for God. Can you imagine having a Bible study with the five top military generals in the nation? That's unbelievable. And we missed that meeting. Our plane was canceled, so we missed that meeting. But anyway, I've prayed for three of those generals. The first one was a year ago. I met him in Colombia, and I was asked by Jerry Anderson to pray for all his LaRed team in his office. And so I did, and people were all over the floor, you know, laughing and getting touched by the Spirit, as they do. Well, this general from Honduras was with us because he came to see what LaRed was doing and the effects it was having on the military with the idea of taking it back home. And he came to me and he said, I would like prayer as well. And so I prayed for him, and down he went under the power. He got up after that and wanted another one. And when I say general, he is the chief of staff, the joint chief. So he's the head over all of them, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and everything. And so this time I got to play for his assistant, the vice chief, and the head general over all the Army there, who is a believer, and his wife is a pastor. And so you think, wait a minute. Yeah, all these top generals are in a Bible study. The prison wardens are all saying, we want God. The president is saying, help me win the youth of our nation. What's going on? God is moving in the nations of the world. Amen. He is. And Christians today, born-again Christians, are a billion strong. I mean, more than. I love that. Be encouraged. You're not just this marginalized little weird group of Christians who raise their hands and speak in tongues and stuff. You're one of out of every six people on the face of the earth who believe and act sort of similar to what you do. Isn't that good? So yeah, you're not a little marginalized group at all. We're winning, in other words. Just encourage your friends. Say, hey, we're winning. It's happening all over the world. Oh my goodness. Now I want you to couple this. The fact that the church is leavening the lump and it's going out around the whole earth, I want you to couple that with revival, the sudden, spontaneous invasion of the Holy Spirit that's coming in so many places. It's just everywhere. And I'm very excited about that. Tell your friend, revival's coming. And ask them, do you want it? Do you want it? I had a verse for you I was gonna read, you know. Where is it? In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said this to all of us. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now, what that is saying is, hey guys, if you live a self-centered life, you're going to miss it. If you live a Christ-centered life, realizing that he's the boss and you're working for him and you're serving him, and of course he's your daddy and you love him and all the rest of it, but let's just begin to give God a portion of our lives. That's what I'm saying. And when they're going down to followers' mission, you know, it's easy to say, oh, well, I don't feel like it, and I've got this to do and that to do, and you know, those kinds of things. But look, they are opportunities for you to do exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Go and minister to somebody in his name, and you'll find out God can use you. And you'll come back with a story about how that guy, that homeless guy, was encouraged because you took a moment and prayed with him. It's amazing what happens when you reach out to other people. But I want to throw one more little thing in here before we quit. And that is, I think we are headed for some troublesome times on the larger scale on earth. The biblical prophecies that have to do with the end times are just shouting at us louder and louder and louder right now. I think when I was here before, I might have talked to you about buy oil, and did I do that? Yes. And the moons and all of that stuff that are about to see. Well, when was that? When was I last here? A year ago? Surely not. 10, 11 months ago. Well, that sign in the moon, that's a whole year closer now. There, that's only 2 years away. Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Just very quickly, Jesus in Luke 21 said, when he's going through end time scenarios, verse 21:25. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now then, do we have the nations perplexed today? Do we have the sea and the waves roaring today? Tsunamis, in other words, and things like that. You know, these are going on. Well, we also have these signs in the moon. And you could say, well, what's a sign in the moon going to look like? Well, I can tell you one that I think is amazing, which is four lunar eclipses in a row. Four total lunar eclipses. Now, this never happens. It's odd to get two that are consecutive. In other words, you get one total eclipse, then you get a partial and a shadow, and then maybe another total. But it's not all that common to get two totals consecutively. It's rare to get three consecutively, and it's extremely rare to get four consecutively in a row, okay? Now, ancients called them blood moons because the Earth's shadow completely blocks the sunlight, so the only light on the moon is refracted through the Earth's atmosphere. So it gets a bit of a reddish color to it, blood moons. And these blood moons are coming up in 2014 and 2015, right? Say, okay, so, well, it happens that those eclipses are coming on Jewish feast days, all four of them, on the Feast of Passover, and then in the Feast of Tabernacles, and again in 2015 on the Feast of Passover, and then again the Feast of Tabernacles. And you know, there's 13 full moons a year. It could be randomly any month, but no, it's on those Jewish feast days because they have a lunar calendar. And those are full moon feasts. But don't you think that's odd that you would get them hitting for 2 years in a row, four consecutive blood moon total eclipses, and they're happening on Jewish feast days. Now, you can verify that. Go to NASA's website, nasa.gov, G-O-V, look up lunar eclipses, and verify that they're, you know, these are really coming on those days. But it's happened twice before. And who can tell me what happened in 1948? Israel became a nation. 1949, 1950, during that war with independence, four of those total eclipses happened in a row. And guess when? Passover and Tabernacles and Passover and Tabernacles, those four Jewish feasts. It happened another one more time, and that time was in 1967, the very year that Israel took the city of Jerusalem and all the territories. But and that was, again, four of those moons, Passover, Tabernacles, Passover, Tabernacles. And you think, wow, wait a minute. The first time we had four in a row, Israel became a nation. Yep. And they were immediately attacked by all the surrounding Arab countries. Egypt, Libya, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, all of them just went after them. And if you can believe this, those refugees out of a war-torn Europe actually won that war. I don't know how, but they did. The next time it happened was in 1967, during the Six-Day War. Passover, Tabernacle, those four signs in the moon. And this one, see, my point is, each time there's been a very serious war in the Middle East. And my concern is that we're headed for another one. Now, I don't know if you follow the news, but Iran is itching to blow Israel off the face of the earth. And once that's happened and they're planned, then America will be next. And I think they include us with America. I don't know. That's their plan. I think God has another plan. And so we're looking at the seriousness of life all of a sudden taking a giant leap. Because this will be the third time. How many of you know that three is always a significant number with God? And when the third time comes, we've got lunar eclipses, two of them in 2014. This is 2012. That means it's 2 years away. And then when we roll into 2015... the Jewish New Year begins with an eclipse of the sun. So you have that Jewish New Year in March or whenever, and 2 weeks later is the Passover, and you get those moons. So it's like, what? Has God worked all this out so that everything is just in sync and perfect, you know, according to his perfect time? I'm sure when the fullness of time comes around. And so here we are today with Israel threatening to attack Iran, Iran threatening to, yeah, bomb them and do everything they can. And, you know, everyone's saying, no, no, wait, because the Arabs are fighting it out among themselves right now, the Sunnis and the Muslims. And Israel said, yeah, well, we can't, the Sunnis and the, not Muslims, Sunnis and the Shias. And yet God loves these people. He loves these people. And people are saying, so don't go in just yet because they're fighting it out among themselves. And Israel's saying, yeah, but they're also on the very verge of finishing a nuclear weapon. And we can't wait until that happens. So the whole thing is just in the boiling point right now. And I read that scripture to myself, and there it is in Luke 21, verse 29. He spoke a parable to them. Look at the fig tree and all the trees, when they are already budding, and you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when these things begin happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. The fig tree is real, but all the trees, all those Arab nations all around them are all putting out their leaves and saying, hey, we want to grow, we want to be visible, we want this, that, and the other, we want the Muslim Brotherhood and everything. They're just amazing days in which we live. So here's the point. Whatever we do for the Lord, we must do quickly. It may well be that the night is coming when no one is going to be able to work very well. And yet, God is pouring out his Spirit in an unprecedented way. And everywhere we go, we come home with these amazing stories of the power of God and the presence of God. And it's not just in third world countries anymore. It's everywhere. We had an awesome conference in Virginia Beach last week. Just amazing miracles. Bill Johnson was just absolutely at his best. And Duncan Smith pulled this woman out of a wheelchair. She had not walked in, I think it was 5 or 6 years. And she had prayer so many times. And, you know, the look on her face of absolute shock. She just could not believe that I am walking along here. What is going on? Like, it was just all over her face. It was an amazing moment. These are great days that we live in, everybody. And I think we've got a short little window, a narrow little window here for whatever you want to do for the Lord. Do it now. Don't wait for 10 years till your house is paid off or something. Let's just get going right now and do it now. Because, see, the wild card in the whole thing, if I can use that expression, is we don't know really when Jesus is coming for his bride. Now, I know that Israel, they have to build their temple, and we probably have to have another war or two over there and all that kind of stuff. So we can project that for about 10 years. But the thing we don't know is when does he come for his bride? So that's where we take a turn for the inward journey now. Now's the time to buy oil. Now's the time to go to that prayer meeting Alex was talking about and say, man, come on, let's start taking this stuff serious. Because I want to be filled up with God when Jesus comes. Amen. But more than that, I want to be filled up with him now. I want to live the rest of my life filled up with him. So let's all stand up, shall we? I think we're 10 minutes over time, are we? Five. Oh, it's not on time. Well, that's what time I got. Father, I thank you that we are living in probably the most exciting times that anyone could ever live who's lived on earth. And we remind ourselves that life is short. And in your goodness, your mercy came and found us. And we're so thankful to know you, Jesus. And we are now going to care about our neighbors and our friends and those who live around us and those who have given up on church and those who don't want to come here. And many think the worship's too long or it's too hard to get to that place or whatever. But Lord, they live next door to us. And they need to know that there are some events just ahead that's going to change the whole game here. And they need to know that there is a Savior who loves them. And they need to know that there's power with him to heal them and to set them free. And we're your people, Jesus. And we want to be filled up with all of your fullness so that out of our innermost being, that river of living water can flow. And I bless this wonderful congregation here in this campus today. Thank you for faithful people. People who serve, people who give, people who pray and love your kingdom. But Lord, we want to be so on fire for you that we're going to see a massive breakthrough in this city, right here in Ajax, as the kingdom comes in power, in love.